By around 10:30pm tonight, we should know the results of the final leadership ballots for the ruling Conservative Party and therefore the new Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. All polls point to a win for the former Foreign Secretary Liz Truss, who appears to have overtaken the former Chancellor of the Exchequer Rishi Sunak. I asked Emeritus Professor of Politics from the University of Adelaide, Clement McIntyre, whether he felt Liz Truss was therefore pretty certain to win, and what then would be the challenges ahead for her.
Well, you're right. All of the polls that we've seen, all of the commentators are unanimous that Liz Truss is the clear favourite to win the election after the members of the Conservative Party have voted. The only debate really is the margin that she's going to win by. So I think it's fair to assume that she's likely to become the Prime Minister. So the immediate steps will be an announcement made at just after midday in London on Monday, of giving the result of the election. And then on Tuesday, the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, will fly to Balmoral in Scotland, where the Queen is currently in residence. He will submit his resignation. And then shortly afterwards, Liz Truss will arrive and be invited to form a new government. And that's when the hard work begins. And then really she has to grapple with probably the hardest set of jobs any incoming Prime Minister in Britain has faced since probably Churchill in 1940.
She has been talking a bit about what the sorts of things she'd like to do, and tax cuts were her go-to position, but a lot of people were then saying that, well, really, there's going to be a lot of people that need direct assistance, and she says she can do both. Can she do both?
Well, with difficulty, I think. You're right. Tax cuts has been one of the mantras of her campaign, and that will help some people, but of course it won't help those at the very bottom who pay very low levels of tax, and they're the ones who are going to be most affected as inflation begins to eat away at their disposable income. They face cost of living rises, and in particular, probably the first, second, third order priority for Liz Truss is dealing with crippling energy bills. So the speculation is that, we know that the average price paid by a household for energy is going to go from about £1,500 a year to £2,500 in October. But it's estimated that by this time next year, the average top price will be about £6,000 per annum. And this is in a country where the average income is a bit over £30,000. So that's an enormous share of income having to be spent on energy. And so all of the expectations are there's going to be some really serious problems as people can't pay those bills. And that's before we get to what might have been thought to be the standard problems that she faces, managing the NHS in a crisis, with still the aftermath of COVID, with Scotland pushing for independence, with a war in Ukraine that Britain has been closely involved in with its support for the Ukrainian government, the problems with illegal migrants turning up on the shores, and fairly poisonous relationships with the EU at the moment, particularly over the handling of Northern Ireland. So, as I say, it's going to be a very busy time for Liz Truss, and if she can pull that off, well, she's got to pull that off if she's to be re-elected, because the next election is due in late 2024.
And where did the wheels fall off for Rishi Sunak, the previous Chancellor of the Exchequer? I mean, was it because he had a very rich wife, millions of dollars from the family in India, and she didn't pay any tax, and really, he was the chief tax man in the UK?
Yes, that's right.
That did it for him?
Well, that was a contributor. She had what's called non-domicile status, which means she wasn't liable for tax in the UK, even though she's conservatively worth, you know, over £1 billion through family holdings. I don't think it's as simple as that, though. Rishi Sunak was immensely popular at the start of the COVID crisis because he was the mastermind of the so-called furlough scheme, as they called it, which was, you know, a bit like the job saver we had, providing handouts to keep people at work. But he's also suffered, I think, because he was one of the key ministers. In early July, there were two key resignations on the same day from Johnson's cabinet, the health secretary and Rishi Sunak as Chancellor of the Exchequer. So for those who still like Boris Johnson, he seemed to be the one who wielded the knife to see off Johnson.
And Boris Johnson, he'll be waving goodbye from number 10 and presumably got all his boxes packed up. But You know, is that he's not an old man. He's not ready to retire. He's never say never. something you can say about Boris? Would we see him
that's
again?
Probably
somewhere?
That's probably the right expression for Boris. You're right. He's leaving Downing Street. He's not proposing to leave the House of Commons. Now, there's a little certain matter of an inquiry into his behaviour. The Privileges Committee is assessing whether or not he misled the Parliament. And if they find that he did, then it's possible that, under British law, there can be a recall. So a Member of Parliament can be thrown out if 10% of the population of the electorate that they represent call for that. So there's a little question mark over his future in the House of Commons there. But leaving that aside, he's intent on staying there. I think he's been struck by the fact that I think all of the polls suggest if he was a candidate for this leadership with Rishi Sunak and Liz Truss, it would be him that's winning, that most of the Conservative voters still like him. So he has not ruled out a comeback, I think. And if it all goes pear-shaped with Liz Truss, then he might well be, you know, the king over the water waiting for the party to turn to him and say sorry and put him back into power. Now, I think that's very unlikely, but it's something that he's not yet ruled out.
Clement McIntyre, Emeritus Professor of Politics from the University of Adelaide, speaking with me there. I'm Roderick Chambers, and you're listening to The Wire around Australia on the Community Radio Network.